Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
You know, we have made some changes to our website. Tony Avaliana does our website for us, does a great job. And we've always been telling people, you know, go listen to the podcast and things like this. And they've always been there. They were just a little hard to find. It was one of those cases that you had to know, had to push the programming button and then find podcasts. Well, not anymore. We've got a big button, great big button that says podcast. So if you want to listen to Faith in Action or Doctor Is In or Catholic Jukebox Indiana or Last Pew, all of those programs are archived right there, and they're really easy to find. I've had people tell me, well, I went to the website, and I couldn't find it. Well, you can now. We've fixed that, and we've made some other little improvements, too, and we're going to make some kind of big changes to the website coming fairly soon, but we'll leave it at that because those are still in the works. But the podcast button is there, so try it out.
You know, when we first started many, many years ago, our website, we didn't change it for years and years and years. And I remember hearing from people, yeah, I've been to your website, but there's nothing new on it. And that has certainly changed in the last 4 or 5 years. We're trying to keep up with the glitz and glamour of having you come back and visit the website often. And there's some really great new things, actually.
You know, two things that have been there for a while. One is the Catholic News headline.
Oh, yeah, right.
And if you go, it's over on the right-hand side, down near the bottom. You'll see top headlines for today. It's updated absolutely every day with stories from the Catholic News Service. And, you know, just go there and you'll get the very, very latest right there. And the other thing I just learned myself the other day, down at the very bottom of the page is a little link to, it's called the Daily Mass.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you click on there, you will see a complete Mass for today on demand. So it doesn't matter if you start listening at noon or 10 after or, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't matter. Whenever you start, you get the Mass, and you get the whole Mass complete with the homily and songs and everything like
that. And the readings and everything.
And it's really great. And I just learned 2 days, maybe yesterday, that there's a place, if you click on there, it's also closed captioned.
Oh.
So if you are hard of hearing, you know, deaf,
sure,
you can click right on there and you can read the Mass as it's being done on the Catholic Radio website.
So we're trying to keep up with everything. We're trying to keep up.
We
right?
are. We are. Absolutely.
Welcome to Faith in Action. As Jim said, our guest today is an author, Damaris Zahner. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You know, you came to us in kind of a circuitous way. Over Christmas, and I can't even tell you if it was because I had a little bit of time off. There was a death in the family, and between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I took a little bit of time to be with family, and this book showed up on my desk. And during the holiday time here at Catholic Radio, we exchange gifts with each other. And sometimes we have part-time employees that are here sometimes for a couple days, and then we won't see them for a week or two. So this book showed up on my desk, and I didn't know from whence it came. It was, I thought, oh, Sharon, what a sweet idea. Or Jim, I couldn't. And it took me a while to track down where it came from. So I'm glad we finally tracked you down, and you're our guest today. So before we get to the book, Damaris, tell us a little bit about you, what side of town you live on, where you work, what your parish is, your family?
Well, I actually go to church in Greencastle, Indiana, which is the very, very far west side of town. In fact, it's closer to Illinois, probably. Mm-hmm. And it's St. Paul the Apostle Church there. Father John Hollowell is our priest.
Oh, how lucky you are.
Yes,
how
we are.
Lucky you are. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. And I work at Ivy Tech there in Greencastle also. I teach English, writing mostly, occasionally literature. but I live in the middle of a cornfield about half an hour from there.
In the middle of a cornfield. I loved reading, I think it was on the back of the book, where it talks about that you live kind of in an old farmhouse in Indiana with a rescue baby goat named Hope, and it said something about, and too many animals, and I loved that part.
Too many.
I thought, how is that possible? If you were one of my kids, I have one of my daughters is a cat lover, and boy, fast forward 60 years, she's going to be a cat lady, one of those people with 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 cats. Yeah.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So besides a goat, do you have any other?
We have 2 goats. We have 3 cats and 2 dogs at this point.
Well, yeah. That's not so I like, but at this point, but no chickens.
No, my husband had it with chickens some years ago, so we don't have chickens.
Okay, that's kind of like the nouveau, the avant-garde thing to do.
Yeah,
chickens, even
yeah.
kind of sneak them into Broad Ripple. People like to do
yeah.
that, right?
Well, we had chickens before they were hipster.
Before they were cool to have. Yeah. Okay, so you wrote an interesting book. And listeners, I have to tell you, if you've listened to this, to Faith in Action for any period of time, you know that we're pretty picky on books. We don't, a lot of people say, you know, come to us, or people have written books and they come through our doors. And we don't interview everybody who's written a book, but everybody who's been on that's written a book, I've read the book. So maybe that's why we don't have so many, because I do read every book of authors that have sent them our way. And this one intrigued me for a couple different reasons, but one particularly, I like the kind of book that you can read for a few minutes and put it down by your bedside. Jim, you've often talked about this.
Oh yeah, right.
Put it down by your bedside or your reading chair, if it's by your comfy chair in the living room. My husband watches sports, you know, often. And so what we usually do is he catches up with sports for 15 or 20 minutes before we might watch something together. And I like something I can read for just a few minutes and then put it down and then pick it up again. This book was excellent because of that. Mm-hmm. And at the end of every chapter, which wasn't too long, sometimes just 3 or 4 pages, you either have something from the Bible, a phrase or a prayer or a meditation at the end of each chapter. And I love that, Damaris. I just loved that. But let's go back to why write a book, because it's kind of interesting you say why you wrote it in the book, or kind of your inspiration for the name. But why write a book? Because it's kind of vignettes of everyday life.
Yeah, and it was written over a long period of time. I was writing and am still occasionally writing for a website. So these were essays that were stimulated maybe by a comment that somebody had made on the website, some current event, something in my own life that I thought about. Occasionally my motivation was just to help out a friend, the friend who's running the website and who said, I need to take a week off, can you write something? But as they were being written, writing is, Dorothy Parker once said that she hates writing and she loves having written. So the process is painful, but the feeling when you're at the end of it is very satisfying, because you can crystallize your thoughts a lot better than you can in speech. You know, you say something and you say it wrong, you say it badly, there's misunderstanding, it's gone. You can't go back. But when you're writing, you can work on it and hopefully get it a little clearer. And
do you find you do a lot of that? I mean, after you put together a few paragraphs and maybe put it aside and go back the next day and read that and think, gee, I could have said that better. And
I edit a lot. It was hard to finally let the book go.
Probably kind of like a painting, that you don't know when to stop, to put the brush down. You know, I'd be a terrible artist, because the few times, amateur times, that I've done those wine and canvas things, mm-hmm. I have a real tough time stopping. I just do. I look at it and I think, no, just a little bit more. And by the time I'm finished, I've done too much. You know, I go back and done too much. So, you know, I want to go through kind of in slow motion a few things that I mm-hmm. highlighted in the book that really struck me. I thought were kind of profound. But before we get to that, because we probably have to do that after the break, I understood after reading part of the book that you are a convert.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your conversion story.
Well, I was baptized and confirmed in the Anglican Church, but felt that it kind of moved in a direction that I wasn't comfortable going in. My husband and I, for some years, because he was from a different background, went to non-denominational evangelical churches. While we were involved in one of them, in 1998, we went overseas as missionaries with a non-denominational Protestant organization, and we spent 7 years in Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia.
Oh, wow.
It was a very good experience. Maybe not so much with the mission organization, but with the Kyrgyz people themselves, it was wonderful. And it was good for our family. We had four children with us then. And when we came back, we did not really feel comfortable in the church that we had left or in the Protestant churches in rural Indiana that we visited over the course of several years. We visited the Catholic Church, and we stopped visiting at that point. When we told a friend of ours that we were going to the Catholic Church, he said, "Well, I'm glad you found something that feels like home." And my husband said, "No, it feels like church."
Oh,
you know, there's prayer and silence and incense and beauty and reverence and scripture. Felt very comfortable.
And was Father John Hollowell your priest then?
Not at that time, no.
Not at that time. Mm-hmm. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Damaris Zahner. She wrote a book called The In-Between Time, and that in itself is a little bit of a story. But you're telling us a little bit about your conversion story. We talked a little bit about that in the first half and kind of stopped before we heard the whole story. So I love that you said your husband, someone commented that you'd found home with the Catholic Church, and he said, "No, we found church with the Catholic Church." But that's so true. That's so true.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah. We didn't want to be in another living room with a stage and performers on it. We wanted a real church. My background is medieval literature. I have a master's degree in medieval literature. I have read all the great Catholic writers. I've studied Catholic history when I lived overseas in various places all my life. In almost every case, it was Catholic missionaries, priests, brothers and sisters who were doing good work, who were the most faithful. And yet, it didn't really occur to me until we reached this crisis point, well, why didn't I just go to the Catholic Church?
Isn't and, that interesting, how you were being prepared? How,
yes.
How this was kind of your background. And when you arrive at a point, sometimes you look back and think your journey started long before you
Absolutely.
Actually realized it.
And so we didn't have a lot of the culture shock that I think some people do in changing to the Catholic Church. But one thing that was interesting was my whole family joined at the same time. Our oldest daughter was and still is in the Navy and was in Japan, but on her own decided to join the Catholic Church as we were back here in the States.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the same Easter, she was confirmed, and so were we.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful. What a wonderful blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wanted to go through, just kind of slow motion, three or four places in the book that kind of struck me, resonated with me. And listeners, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about a book called The Between Time, Savoring the Sacred Moments of Everyday Life, written by Damaris Zahner. And it's written in such a way that each chapter is between three or four pages and five or six pages long, some shorter, some longer. But it's just kind of stories. It's stories of your life, interesting things that happened. And then at the end of each chapter, either a prayer that I believe you've probably came from your imagination, or the Bible. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that resonated with me was I remember reading on Facebook something that I copied immediately and pasted, and it was "Stop the Glorification of Busy." And I loved that, and I put that on. And you, I'll read something from your book that I thought is that really loved. And you say, "We have to discipline ourselves to abstain from too much stimulation. We have to acknowledge that multitasking is a delusion, and that behind all the stuff we're racing to do is the sin of pride. Loved that. I loved that. And then you go on to talk a little bit about boredom and how boredom sometimes brings us into a natural, or it's a natural rhythm of life that maybe brings us to something that we need to do or should pay attention to. And the last thing you say in this part, and at the end of the story, ironically, the people who are the least bored are not those who have the most distractions. They are the people who can be content with empty time and space. Not only are these contented people not bored, they're also not boring. Think of that. I loved that.
Thank you.
I loved that you wove into that we've all been there. Jim, I know you've been there. I've been that, where you're sitting with an afternoon, almost everything's done, and you're sitting thinking, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. What do I do with the next hour or two before the kids get home or before my wife gets home or something? And you kind of address it, that we could naturally go to, maybe we don't say it as adults because I didn't allow my children to say it in the household. They were never allowed to say the B word, mm-hmm. ever, over summer vacation. But you say that kind of opens a window for possibilities. Talk mm-hmm. about that for a second.
I think life tends to be very scripted, and probably more and more so compared to what it was like when I was a child. And creativity is always going to happen when there isn't a script. So children don't often get the chance to be creative if everything is planned. If they're bored, then they have to think of something to do, unless there's an adult, you know, bustling them around and making them do stuff. And it might be that they'll build something or create something or write a play or, you know, get into trouble, honestly. But mm-hmm. it's usually creative trouble. And I think it's a shame that both children and adults don't have that unscripted time, and that we haven't trained ourselves to it. I did find, a few years ago, I went on a retreat to Gethsemane in Kentucky, and I did it wrong. I took my handicraft, and I took some paper to write with, and I took some books, and I'm just going to get so much done during this retreat. And that was not the right way to do it. I later did a different retreat to St. Monrad, and I brought nothing. And I just sat and slept and walked around, and it was much more fruitful, actually.
Mm-hmm. You remind me of, I think it was Bishop Fulton Sheen that said he made a promise the day he was ordained to do an hour of adoration.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Every day of his mm-hmm. life. And someone asked him, so if you do an hour of adoration every day of your life, what do you do? What do you read? What do you pray? What do you do before the Blessed Sacrament? And he looked at them and said, nothing. Mm-hmm. I listen. That's uh-huh. my time to listen. And I thought, you know, I often do what you do, Damaris. I when I go to adoration, I take the books I need to read. I take what I meditate on, what I'm, mm-hmm. you know, my prayer intentions. I go with arms of stuff that mm-hmm. I need to get done during that hour. But, you know, then I'm not listening.
Right. Right, yeah.
And he can't speak to us.
I think we have to train ourselves for that, because all of society trains us in the opposite direction, just to be always on the go, always hyped up and nervous and so on. It takes some detoxifying, really, to be able to sit still and not do anything without anxiety or distraction.
You just said it, without anxiety, mm-hmm. because I find myself almost anxious if I don't have anything to do. It's like I feel guilty.
Right.
I feel guilty. Jim, have mm-hmm. you ever felt like guilty because it's like I should be doing something right now?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. That's common. When you get a minute to yourself, you think, gee, I should be.
I should be doing something.
Yeah, there's right. always
yeah.
something.
Right. Yeah, and there is always something, but.
Okay, there's a couple other spots in the book. Mm-hmm. This one I really love, too, because this reminded me, I think this will resonate with a lot of readers. This is in a chapter that I was actually talking over with my daughter. Should Christians covet poverty? Mm-hmm. And my daughter looked at me, 25-year-old daughter, and she said, what does she mean by that? Should mm-hmm. Christians covet poverty? And it was interesting because until I read your chapter, I couldn't have explained it either. But you've got a very interesting little story here that I think all of us can identify with, and I loved it. It was about when you and your kids went for a walk one day, and you said you lived in a part of Indianapolis that was downtown Indianapolis, a rough neighborhood. You weren't poor, but many people around you were. And you talk about a day that you went for a walk, and on your way home with three little angel muffins around you, one of them suggested you stop at White Castle, but all you had, you didn't have any money. Who takes a walk with money? Never. Mm-hmm. Purse. I mean, I never take a walk with a purse in my hand. It's whatever, you know. So you had a couple dollars on you. That's all you had. And so you said to the kids, we can split some fries or something, and but that's all we have. And as you're waiting in line, and I'll read this part, inside as we stood in line, your three-year-old started to ask for a hamburger. Nope, we don't have enough money for that, you said. An elderly man in worn-out clothes standing behind you bought the children hamburgers. It's all right, he said, when I protested. You happen not to have money just now, and I do. And I thought, oh my gosh. Now the interesting thing for me is, you know, the grand scheme of things, you probably had a lot more money than he did.
I did, yeah.
But you had to allow him. I mean, that was, maybe he needed that more than you did.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to give it to you more than you needed to accept it. Mm-hmm. But how gracious you were in the accepting of it. Can you tell us a little bit about more about that incident? Something else happened also a little bit later in the chapter, but I thought, wow, I could just picture that. I could just picture it, because we've all been there where mm-hmm. we saw someone and we wanted to do something when we know nothing about their circumstances, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I wanted my children to see it. He was a different race. He was a different economic background from them, and I wanted them to love him. You know, he was kind, and I don't know anything about him except what I could assume from looking at him. But we were actually, at that time, the reason we were living downtown, we were saving money, we were helping a friend rehab a house so that we could get ready to go to the mission field. And one of the reasons we wanted to go to Kyrgyzstan when we left, I was pregnant with our fourth child, was I wanted the kids to have an experience of being a racial and religious minority, and of not being afraid of poverty. That they played, for the 7 years we lived there, they played with kids who maybe hadn't eaten that day, and they'd come in and they'd say, you know, so-and-so hasn't had any food, Mom, can you make her some bread? You know, and they would eat together, or they'd go play at a house where everybody lived in a single room and had no toys, but it didn't bother them because it was something that they were familiar with. And I think many Americans, even when they want to help, are afraid of poverty. They associate it with something frightening, you know, with violence or crime mm-hmm. or something, and it doesn't have to be.
Sure, kind of scary almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Our guest today on Faith in Action, Damaris Zahner, and she wrote an interesting book, The Between Time, Savoring the Sacred Moments of Everyday Life. And I really liked it. I said it earlier because it's an easy read. There's only a little more than 100 pages in the whole book, but they're little vignettes. They're just three or four pages each chapter, and it's almost like each one is a meditation. They're not meditations. They're stories of your life.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really liked, and I want you to spend a little bit of time on this. We just have a few minutes left, but this got me right away. My daughter went on an interview recently, 25-year-old daughter. She's in grad school. She went, I won't name the name of the company, but a big Fortune 500 company here in Indianapolis. And the HR person asked her something, and this is my pet peeve, I'm telling you. I couldn't believe the HR person asked her this. She said, what are you passionate about? What's your passion? And I thought, you know what? That is my pet peeve when people ask me that, because it's hitting me on a level that I don't even go there. Mm-hmm. When they ask my passion, I'm thinking emotion. I mean, I want to be more intellectual mm-hmm. than given to my passions. Mm-hmm. And you actually have a very interesting, do you remember? Do you want me to trigger your memory? What you say about it in here? You have a really great take on it.
Well, I wrote a whole essay on it, but the church fathers thought of passion as, if not sin, at least an occasion for sin, because the word itself means suffering or experiencing something from outside that is laid on us, and we are to be growing into the likeness of Christ, not to be tossed side to side, you know, by passions, by you know, excitement and things that the world pushes on us.
And yet that's kind of a buzz. You hear that all the time.
Right,
and you
right.
see it all the time. And you see it on Facebook. I have a sister-in-law who's famously successful. She's very successful. But she's always talking about find your passion and follow it.
Right.
And I think that that's not to be held up as right. a goal for each of us. And I'm disappointed because I think that's an easy thing to fall back into.
I think that's true. And I think often when we look back at our life after we've lived most of it, where we find that we've served God best is usually not where we thought we were passionate. You know, it's the places we've put ourselves to death and sacrificed and maybe even resisted. But those are the areas where God's acted through us rather than our personality taking over and galloping away.
Amen. Amen. And you actually quote Saint Isaac of Syria. Mm-hmm. And I'll quote this part. And he said, and you quoted, a zealous or passionate person never achieves peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And he who is deprived of peace of mind is deprived of joy. And I thought that was very interesting. At the end, you say quite a bit more about it. But at the end, you offer this question. You say, passion and soul sickness on one hand, divine wisdom and serenity on the other. I'll choose door number two. I'll choose the second one. Loved that. So much of this book resonated with me, and I'm sure with listeners. If you're looking for a Lenten meditation book or something that I think this would be a great possibility for that. And Damaris, maybe you could tell us. We've got a little less than a minute left. Where we can get this book and how many forms is it available?
As far as I know, it's just in print, but I'm not positive if that's the case or not. You can get it online. The publisher is called 23rd Publications, and you can search for it there by my name, Damaris Zahner, and The Between Time. It's available on Amazon and on a variety of other online websites.
And let me spell out the last name because it's a little bit different. The first is different in itself. Damaris, but it's spelled D-E-M-A-R-I-S.
Sorry, it's D-A-M.
Oh, so. D-A-M. Sorry, mm-hmm. D-A-M-A-R-I-S. Zahner, Z-E-H-N-E-R.
Correct,
Z-E-H-N-E-R.
Yeah.
So I think of on Amazon, you went to just Zahner.
You could yes, you could find that. I would also recommend going to your local Catholic bookstore. They may have it. Many bookstores have ordered it, and if they don't, ask them to order it.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcast.
Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. We'd like to thank our supporters, our underwriters, and all those who pray for our success each day. Catholic Radio Indy, 100% Catholic programming, 24/7.